How many elderly people do we have here tonight? Would you raise your hand? You're not ashamed of you. You're elderly. But now, let me change that around just a little bit. How many old people do we have here tonight? Raise your... He had his hand up all the time. Old people, raise your hand. Okay, now wait a minute. All right, now, this is a fact that most of you people may not realize, but the baby in the womb, before that baby is born, is that baby old? When that baby comes out of the womb, 1 nanosecond, we'll say, I don't know how long that is, 1 nanosecond after that baby comes out of the womb, what is it? 1 nanosecond old. When you were 10, you were 10 years old. When you were 20, you were 20 years old. Now, Brother Lloyd talks about the senior ambassador Sunday school class of people being old, but Brother Lloyd is old, and he's one of us. And you know, we as the, let's say, I would rather be called old than elderly. And when we think of that, that is really true, that I am old. I would have to admit that I am old. I'm not going to tell you how old I am. You'll have, well, I'm less than 95, okay? Now, when we think of this, all of the young people, we as, let's say, adults, we get in our minds that the young people are, they're the church of tomorrow. But I got news for you. They're the church of today. And we who are in this time that we're living in the church age, you and I, as, let's say, the adult olders, we need to be training these youngsters who are of the church of today, who can train the church of tomorrow, that they can lead and guide the people into the right way that they should be going. And I fear that you and I, as the people of God, that there's many churches today and many people who have let God down. And we are not just telling it like it is. And you and I, as the children of God, we need to say, "Thus saith the Lord." Now, some people tonight might get offended by some of the things that I'm going to say, but don't turn the don't turn me off. If you're here, even don't turn me off. You need to be listening, and you need to understand that what I'm speaking of tonight comes from the Word of God. It's not just my opinion; it's what God says. Now, we're going to read tonight in starting in Romans chapter 1. You'll turn your Bibles there. We'll look at that in just a moment. But let me speak to you just for the next few moments. Now, let me guarantee you that as far as I know, that you will be out of here by 8 o'clock tonight. Amen. The reason that you will be out of here, I heard an amen. By the time you're out of here tonight at 8 o'clock, you can turn on It's a Good Life on WTYG. And it will not be the same message, but it'll be something good. It's on something that you will find interesting. Now, homosexuality, a biblical view. This is something that you and I need to be aware of tonight, that when we speak of homosexuality, we need to speak of it biblically. Well, let me put my glasses on so I can see. That helped a little bit. Well, what does the Bible teach about homosexuality? Homosexuality is contrary to God's original plan for a man and a woman. And remember this, sin, even if legalized by man, is still sin in the eyes of God. It makes no difference what man says, sin is sin. Gentile nations of the past have been severely judged by God because of such practices as homosexuality and other sins that violate prohibitions given by God. And let me say this, that Americans would do well to heed this serious and sober warning from God. God says, "And the land is defiled. Therefore, I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants." Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 25. And I believe that God is sick in his stomach today when he looks at America. God is sick and tired of what's going on here. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." I believe that God is grieved tonight because of what's going on in this country and in the world. I believe he's grieved with people who call themselves Christian. I believe he's grieved tonight from those churches who say they are fundamental independent Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches, Methodist, I'll start to say Methodist Baptist churches, there's no such thing. All right, Methodist, any denomination, I believe that God is sick at his stomach tonight because churches are not standing up for him tonight. Now let me quote something. Don't turn this off. This may upset you. It upset me when I read it and when I studied it. I'm going to quote something. During LGBTQ plus Pride Month, we recognize the resilience and determination of the many individuals who are fighting to live freely and authentically. In doing so, they are opening hearts and minds and laying the foundation for a more just and equitable America. This Pride Month, we affirm as our obligation to uphold the dignity of all people and dedicate ourselves to protecting the most vulnerable among us. I got news for you. The most vulnerable, that's a hard word, among us are the children of this country, of this world. And we need to be protecting those children. It goes on to say this. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim June 2021 as Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and Queer Pride Month. I call upon the people of the United States to recognize the achievements of the LGBTQ plus community, to celebrate the great diversity of the American people, and to wave their flags of pride. Now listen carefully. He continues. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand this first day of June, in the year of our Lord, 2021, and of the independence of the United States of America, the 245th, Joseph R. Biden, Jr. Biden says, in the year of our Lord. Barack Obama said the same words in 2012. He said, our Lord. God will not tolerate much longer his name being desecrated, connected with the ungodliness of the Amorites, who in times past killed their babies and committed whoredoms of homosexuality and bestiality. Now, our class heard me mention this, and I named the states that still do this. There's no law against bestiality in four states in this country. There's no law against that. God help us to stand up against what is wrong in this land and in this world. The Amorites killed their babies. 70 million plus have been murdered since Roe versus Wade was placed. And you and I need to understand it's murder. It's not the killing of a fetus, it's the killing of a human being. And we need to stand against that. In 2019, the Trump administration said pride flags could not fly above U.S. embassies. In 2021, Biden said U.S. embassies worldwide would fly the pride flag. God help us. I debated whether to say this, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. Now, you Democrats, this is not political. This is spiritual that I'm speaking of. This is biblical that I'm about to say. The Democrats of this country are backing abortion. Whether you are for abortion or not, if you are voting Democratic, you are for abortion. You are for murder because the Democratic Convention, national, whatever it is, the platform that they stand on says it's all right to kill babies. And if you contribute to that, you're part of that, and you need to get out of that. Amen. And let me say this. There are Republicans who are for abortion as well. You say, well, what are we to do? What are we to do? You're to vote the rascals out of there. That's what we're to do. Get rid of them and do what God wants us to do and stand up for him instead of standing up for a party and let God lead us and do what is right. Well, how do we approach the homosexual? Well, I got news for you. We're to approach the homosexual with the love of Christ. 1 John 3:18 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." We're to love the homosexual. You say, well, that's a paradox, or whatever it's called. That's against what? No, we're to love the homosexual. We are to attack the sin of the homosexual, not the homosexual, but the sin of the homosexual. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." If we attack the person instead of attacking the sin, the Bible says that we are exhibiting our immaturity as Christians. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6, "Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands?" In James chapter 3 and verse 6, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." We need to watch our mouths. We need to watch our tongues. And we need to love the person and hate the sin. Turn with me now, if you haven't already, to Romans chapter 1. Now we begin. Romans chapter 1. Now we're going to start reading at verse 24. And actually, I'm going to back up to 1:18 in just a moment. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 24. It says, "Wherefore God also gave them up." Now, who are them that he's speaking of? Back in verse 18, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." That's who he's writing to here. "Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave him up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." That word recompense means this: they got what they deserved. Verse 28 says, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do them, do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." Now notice these verses that I just read. Verse 24, homosexuality, it says, is unclean. It's filthy. It's morally foul. It's morally polluted. Verse 26 says homosexuality involves vile, this means disgraceful, affections, passions. Homosexuality is against nature, contrary to the original intention of the Creator, according to verse 26. Homosexuality is unnatural, contrary to God-ordained sexual relations. Verses 26 and 27 tells us that. Homosexuality involves being sexually inflamed, boiling with burning lust, according to verse 27. Homosexuality, according to verse 27, is unseemly. It is shameful. And homosexuals get what they deserve, according to those verses, recompense for the error, and that is sin, the sin of being a homosexual. What about homosexuality and the homosexual? Look once again in Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's out there. It's clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They have no excuse. There is no excuse. Some people say, how do the people in the jungles get saved? How do the people around the world get saved? Well, they get saved the same way you and I do. They get saved by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But when they stand at the judgment seat, or not the judgment seat, but at the white throne judgment, when they stand there, God's going to say, you're without excuse because you had the witness of nature. You knew God and you did not glorify God. You ignored God. You say, well, how do they know? You look at every place in this world. We'll call them tribes, you call them whatever you want, and there is a God consciousness there. Right. Even the people who worship the gods of voodoo or whatever that is, they have a God consciousness. It's the wrong God, but they worship a God. Yeah. Right. Everywhere you go, people are doing something in worship, so they are without excuse. Homosexuality gives credence to the sin of evolution, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 that we just now read. Now notice, not being able to procreate, to have offspring, the homosexual depends on the quote unquote natural process of quote unquote nature to further the existence of mankind. Let me hit this while I'm here. We have a lot of people who are worshiping the global warmest today. That is a religion, by the way. Those people are badly mistaken. They believe in evolution, but they're not letting evolution take care of what they believe in. If they believed in evolution, they wouldn't do anything. They would let nature take its course. And you've heard this before. They're worried about the global warming. God is going to burn this world one of these days. Sin's going to be gone. And there's no more sin, no more strife. It's all going to be taken care of by my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Evolution. Now, homosexuality gives credence to the sin of evolution, and evolution gives credence to homosexuality, that it is not necessary for a man and woman to procreate. Evolution does not depend upon a man, a woman, God to create life, because according to evolutionists, life is an evolutionary process. Homosexuality, evolution. One sin leads to another. Notice, homosexuals do not honor God for who he is. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Homosexuals do not thank God for what he has done, according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. The homosexual rejects both God's person and his work. And as a result, God gives them up to their own heart's lusts. They abandon God, and therefore God has no choice but to abandon them and give them up to the horrible sins mentioned in Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. The result has not been evolution and progress, but degeneration and regression. Notice what the Bible says about the homosexual. The Bible says that homosexuals are fools. You say, I don't think you should call anybody a fool. You take it up with God. He's the one that says it. Right. Romans chapter 1 and verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now, folks, we're to deal with the homosexual in love, but we're not to sugarcoat it. We're to tell them like it is, that they need to get Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They need to come by way of the cross and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Right. Notice this. Homosexuality, according to Romans 1, is the predictable result of a society that fails to honor God and recognize his truth. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Romans 1, 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now, we've been reading in Romans chapter 1. Paul the Apostle wrote the book of Romans. Paul the Apostle, as we've been reading his words here, under the inspiration of God, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul the Apostle was the prosecutor that we've been reading of here. He is the prosecutor. We keep reading down in 1 Corinthians now, chapter 6, and we're going to see the prosecutor once again, Paul the Apostle. He doesn't stop with the book of Romans. He goes to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers. This is the improper use of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Later on, I'm going to read verse 11, but I'm going to stop there with those verses that I just read. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10, two of the terms refer to homosexuals. The word effeminate, one who is soft, taking the female or passive role. Now, the English term is this. Sissy. The other word is abuser that appears in those verses. Abuser. This is one who dominates and uses another man. Not only can homosexuals be effeminate, they can also take on a dominant masculine role. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. That's the word of God. Leviticus 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. I can hear someone who doesn't even believe in God say, well, thank God he's not going to kill me because that is against the law today. Well, I got news for you. The Bible says that all of those people who refuse Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are going to die a death in the lake of fire forever and ever. God's word cannot be done away with. Those people who refuse Jesus Christ and have him come into their life and change their life, they're going to spend an eternity not only in the devil's hell if they die right now, but they'll be cast in the lake of fire where God says, Jesus looks at them and says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Cast them into outer darkness. And that brings to mind, I mentioned this, I believe, as I was teaching this. And somebody says, well, if it's going to be burning with fire, is God a liar? We talk about how dark it's going to be in hell. How can it be dark with a fire burning? Now, I used to watch some of the races that went on, like in Daytona and places like that, and I've read how that gasoline that they use burns so pure and so hot that you really can't see it when it's on fire. And these fellows that come out and start filling those gas tanks up with those big cans that they carry around, and they start. I'm told that if a spark hits that and it catches on fire, you can't even see the flame of that. And I'm told they're to do certain things to let somebody know that they're in trouble. And they put that foam or whatever they have on them. And I believe that's the way it's going to be in hell. The fire is going to be so hot and so miserable and so burning that you won't be able to see it. It'll be darkness, total darkness. But what about the women? What about women? Lesbianism. I'm told that some women who are lesbians do not like to be called a homosexual. Romans 1:26 says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Did you ever hear the term lesbo? Did you ever hear that? We say, well, that you shouldn't be saying that word. Well, let me say this. The word lesbian comes from the Isle of Lesbos, the Greek island. A lesbian is a female homosexual. The term came to describe women who love women. This happened. It was named after the island's most famous resident, the poet Sappho, S-A-P-P-H-O. And I've said this before, the first part of that name's enough to let me know who that person was, S-A-P. By the way, that's Sap, okay, if you didn't catch that, okay. But what about the cost of homosexuality? It's one thing, this usually gets people's attention, when you start talking about the pocketbook. The cost, 85.6 million people plus have become infected with HIV since the start of the epidemic. 40.4 million people plus have died from AIDS-related illnesses since the start of the epidemic. There are more than 35,000 new infections each year in the United States, according to the CDC. In 2019, most newly diagnosed cases of HIV occurred through male-to-male sexual contact. Gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men are the population most affected by HIV in the U.S. And studies in England and South Africa have found that the risk of dying from the word C, I'm not allowed to say that word, come out set, they'll cut us off. Okay, I probably will now that I'll turn them on. I'll let them know. The word C, for dying from C, okay, among people with HIV was double that of the general population. Now comes the pocketbook. The U.S. military spent $15 million on transsexual health care between January 1st, 2016 and May 14th, 2019. I believe that's within a matter of 4 years. $45 million, and I believe more, from the U.S. government to make Pulse Nightclub a national memorial. Here's a headline. Congress backs national memorial designation for former Pulse Nightclub site. President Biden signs bill designating Pulse Nightclub a national memorial. Now, President Biden signed and backed the bill in the legislature. Biden said in 2021, enshrining in law what has been true since that terrible day 5 years ago, Pulse Nightclub is hallowed ground. Well, what was Pulse Nightclub? Pulse Nightclub was a hangout for homosexuals. Pulse Nightclub was an abomination to God. The Pulse Nightclub National Memorial is a memorial to the dregs and degenerate of mankind. The country, the state, and multiple corporations have agreed to give millions toward the $45 million project of making Pulse Nightclub a national memorial. Well, what does God say about this? What does He say about the Pulse Memorial, Nightclub Memorial? Deuteronomy 29:17 says, "And ye have seen their abominations and their idols, wood and stone, silver and gold, which were among them." We don't bow down to that. Leviticus 26:1, "Ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God." Folks, I don't know if you realize it or not, but your tax dollars went for that. Your tax dollars went to build that thing. And if we don't start standing up and start putting God back where He's supposed to be in this country, our country, I'm afraid, is going to keep going down. Politicians are not the answer. God is the answer. And you and I need to be praying for God's hand to once again be upon this country, upon this world. What is the real cost? The cost. People are dying and going to hell. What is the cure for homosexuality? It's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. His grace is greater than the sin of homosexuality. Amen. Hebrews 7:24, 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now notice this. Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. And let me emphasize that word, every man, every. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Death has reigned. Sin has reigned. The opposite of unrighteousness is righteousness. It is through the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that righteousness can reign in anybody's life. Now I said, as I read 1 Corinthians 6 a few moments ago, I did not read verse 11. Look there with me if you would. Is there really hope for those whose lives are dominated and characterized by the sin of homosexuality? Or any other sin for that matter? Is there really any hope for people? 1 Corinthians 6:11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. The Bible says that anyone in this world can be saved. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That grace of God is for everyone in this building. Anyone who's watching, anyone who's listening, the grace of God is big enough and strong enough and powerful enough to save anyone who would come to him faith believing, and that includes the homosexual. That homosexual can be saved, and we need to let these people know that they need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We don't attack them, we attack the sin, and we let that person know who is a homosexual that God loves them and he wants them to go to heaven to be with him one day. And you and I need to love these people to the Lord. Now God have mercy on these liberal churches who welcome in the homosexual crowd and say, you're welcome to teach Sunday school. You're welcome to take part in this church. And I'm going to mention someone, I believe in calling names. Andy Stanley is one who is going to have to answer to God one day because he's allowing these characters to come into his church, into the satellite churches that he has, and allowing the drag queens, and this is true, the drag queens come in there and doing lap dances for the persons operating those satellite churches. God help these people. God help a man like that. And the Bible says that we're to reject the heretic. And we need to call it like it is. And we need to call these people out by name and let people know that they are wrong and they need to get things right with God. The bottom line is this. Proverbs 17:15. He that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abominations to the Lord. For those queers who think they can change God's word by making their own Bible, the Queen James, God has something to say to them. Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. And that book is this book right here, the Bible, the King James Bible. And we need to be standing on this and not back down from what thus saith the Lord. Now tonight, you may have come without Jesus, but I'd advise you not to leave here without him. because we don't know the next moment what it's going to bring. We could all walk out of here tonight and something happened to each one of us. I don't know. Seb, I don't think you should scare people. The Bible says, what is your life? It's even a vapor. It appears for a little time and then it vanishes away. Now, if you've come tonight without Jesus Christ, you need to leave with him tonight. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, I've gone over just a little bit, Pastor, but let me share one more thing with the people. Several years ago, I received a call about 9 o'clock one night. A lady said to her husband was dying. Would I come and have prayer with him? I knocked on the door. The young lady let me in, and there were people standing around. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where people were waiting for the death of someone, but they were all gathered in that room. And I walked in, and she said, he's back here. And I went back, and here was this little man. He was on a little bed like a cot. He was there, and he was shaking. And she said, he can't see. He can't talk. But he understands. And I sat down with him by his bedside. And I said, John, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And I said, now, John, I want you to take me by your hand. I know you can't speak. Would you take me by the hand? And if you can understand, John, what I'm saying, for yes, two times, press my hand, and for no, one time. And I said, can you understand what I'm saying, John? And two times he squeezed my hand. And I said, John, would you like to know how to go to heaven? He squeezed my hand twice. And I explained to him the most beautiful story that has ever been told by man, and that is the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. How that anyone can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I said, John, if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're willing to turn your life over to him. Now, John's laying on his deathbed. But I said, John, if you're willing to turn your life over to him and let him have you, if you will, John, trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, be willing to go God's way, not willing to go your way any longer, but go God's way, and God will save you. John, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, John, you can't speak, but your heart can. God, I said, John, would you confess to God who you are and that you need him as your Lord and Savior? I waited just a moment. I had John by the hand. I said, John, did you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior just now? Two times he squeezed my hand. I said, John, would you like to tell your wife what has just happened? Two times he squeezed my hand. I called his wife and I said, John wants to tell you something. She said, he can't talk. I said, yes, he can. I said, take his hand. I said, John, did you trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? He squeezed her hand twice and she said, bless God, he's on his way to heaven and I'll see him one day. I'll see you, John, in heaven one day. We had a revival that night. I walked out and these people, they were having that vigil, and we had a little prayer meeting there and two people got saved, amen, including John. And the point of this is this. It makes no difference who you are. You can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Please don't wait like John did, because within a matter of just a few hours, John went home to be with the Lord. And I had the privilege of preaching John's funeral and giving the plan of salvation once again to the people who were gathered there, and more people got saved because one man died on the cross of Calvary for the sins of this whole world. Amen. Would you bow with me for prayer? Now, Lord, you know me. Lord, I pray that your word has not been hindered tonight by me. I pray that your word has gone forth. I've tried to preach it, Lord, with love. And I've tried to preach it by just being real. And I pray if there's one here tonight who's never trusted you, I pray that person would come tonight to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior.